The world's two largest breweries thinking about getting together for a very expensive beer. From Marketplace, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio. Breaking news from the beer world this morning. London-based SAB Miller said it's been approached by Anheuser-Busch InBev about a possible merger. That would tie up the world's two biggest brewers into a potentially $250 billion company. The Financial Times reports it could end up being one of the top 10 biggest deals of all time. SAB Miller's shares are up 23% just on the possibility, and joining us for more is Emma Simpson, a business correspondent for our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
This would be a massive merger of these two companies. What are the immediate reactions, and does it seem likely that something so huge would even be approved?
This would be a very big shakeup in the world of brewing. Combining two of the world's biggest brewers would create a company with a joint market cap of about $245 billion. I should say that no offer has yet been made. And of course, there will be huge regulatory issues around this. Which bits of SAB Miller will it have to sell? Will it want to sell?
And why do these two giants need each other right now?
There has been something of a wave of consolidation in the brewing world. Back in 2009, we saw that $52 billion merger of Anheuser-Busch and InBev that created ABI. It's all about scale and to be in the right market. So SAB Miller has strong assets and sales in Africa. And of course, the SAB Miller tried to acquire a controlling stake in another big brewer, Heineken, last year. That tie-up failed, and now it has to respond to today's move.
That's BBC business correspondent Emma Simpson. Thanks, Emma.
Thank you.
And now let's do the numbers. China's Shanghai Composite Index is having a much better day, up 5% after days of declines. European stocks all trading up today. London's FTSE 100 is up 0.7%, possibly a little beer buzz there. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.5%, and in Paris, the CAC 40 is up 1.1%. FedEx reports earnings in a little less than half an hour, and two things might affect the numbers. On the plus side, e-commerce sales are booming, and then there's the downside, China's major decline. So is the international shipping giant sending more packages from online stores or fewer? Sally Herships reports.
When a giant country like China has financial problems, they ripple right through borders. For a shipping company, that can mean sending fewer goods or materials.
Or steel or machinery.
Satish Jindal is a consultant for the transportation industry, and he was part of the founding team of FedEx Ground. But he says FedEx is not shipping big cargo.
They're shipping lighter packages that are 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds, high-value retail, high-value electronics.
Jindal says also the price of gas for planes has fallen, almost 10% from last year, which reduces FedEx's overall costs. John Callen is a consultant to the shipping industry. He says FedEx has tried to balance the problems in Asia by strengthening its position in Europe, making a deal to buy a major rival, TNT, a Dutch shipping company.
And of course, that gives them more access to the China market from Europe.
And then, of course, there's this.
E-commerce is growing like mad. There's no stopping it.
E-commerce sales in the U.S. this quarter, compared to last year, are up 14%. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
It used to be you buy your house, you pay the mortgage. Today, though, lots of people are living with working parents, children, or roommates, people who are not on the mortgage but who do pitch in money for rent, groceries, and utilities. And with that in mind, Fannie Mae is making changes to its mortgage program for middle and low-income earners. Marketplace's Noelle King has more.
This is the kind of economic reality that Fannie Mae is trying to reflect. Kristen Bjornsson is 27 and has a college degree. She's an editorial designer for a newspaper chain and a legal assistant. She lives with her mom in Fort Lauderdale despite the two jobs, partly because her mom needed help paying the mortgage.
It was something like 80% of her income. Even with my income, it wasn't necessarily enough to ultimately make ends meet month to month.
Or consider Matt Witt, an accountant in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's 32, married, has a college degree, and a baby on the way. He has college loans and daycare costs to think about. So 3 months ago, he and his wife rented out their house and moved in with her parents temporarily.
It just didn't make sense to live in a house as nice as the one we live in and to have a kid.
Matt and his wife kick in money for utilities and groceries, which helps his in-laws with their expenses. Jonathan Lawless is VP of Affordable Housing Strategy at Fannie Mae.
This is clearly for a lower income family a way to make ends meet by combining wealth and combining income into the same household.
He says this is why Fannie Mae's Home Ready loan option will, for the first time, include the income of working adults in the household other than the main borrower.
14% of households that have a mortgage have an income earner of significant income living in the same household. That percentage is 19% for African American households and 24% for Hispanic households.
Lawless says that by counting this additional income, more people will likely get mortgages and become homeowners. Fannie Mae comprised about 40% of the mortgage market this year. Kristen Bjornson in Fort Lauderdale finds that heartening. She'd like to own a house someday. She also thinks this new normal is a little sad.
It's depressing because it's a testament to the fact that they do not anticipate wages increasing enough to enable individuals like myself to be able to qualify for a mortgage for the foreseeable future.
She says she hopes she'll be able to get a mortgage by the time she's 35 or 40. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
Finally, Japan's debt rating took a hit this morning from Standard & Poor's, reduced from AA- to just A+, a grade that still sounds fine to most of us. From the studios at Montclair State University, I am Molly Wood with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.